Oh, hello, this is The Truth Speaks. Sorry, I'm Dylan, and I'm joined by Vinny Eastwood. Vinny, we got you?
Yes, you do, yes, you do. I'm just also looking at the live stream here, and it appears to have just failed on us.
I think there's a delay.
Oh, okay, okay. Is it like a several-minute delay? Because it looks like it's been off for about 40 seconds.
That's strange. Yeah. Sydney, are we good?
You're good.
All right. We're going to be talking about John Keith. I know that's your favorite topic, Benny.
It really is. Well, in fact, have you ever noticed that sometimes your favorite topic is just the least favorite topic? You know, how some people like their favorite topic is Britney Spears because they just hate her that much?
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's kind of funny.
Well, there's a good quote from a movie called Human Traffic. He says, "The things that we love brought us together, but so do the things that we hate." And I don't know. A lot of people have said, "Oh, Vinny, why do you hate him?" And I was like, you know, it's not like I really hate the Prime Sinister, John Key. I just spend several hours a day in deep, intense meditation, sending good psionic vibes to loose skateboards, slippery staircases, banana peels, and marbles and things of that nature, just to help them get in his way on that day and you know, just gently move him on the journey to a broken spine and eventually death, you know. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Jeez. I don't know.
There's no hate involved here, you know. It's all done in a very loving, caring, Christian way. But the the thing about him is just, we've come across this information just recently. In fact, we recorded a show about it about yesterday, I think, or the day before. I'm sorry, days are kind of blurring together for me now, but somebody sent an Official Information Act request. It's our, I'm not sure what the US equivalent to that is, you know, how you can send questions to the government and they kind of required by law to answer them. And the question was, is John Key a US citizen or does he have dual citizenship? And his own office doesn't know and won't answer. Now, you'd figure if you were working for a guy and he was the head of a country that, I don't know, they'd know whether or not he was a citizen of your country, you know, maybe
seems
beforehand.
Like that would be seems that would be pretty important.
He's been leading our country for like 8+ years now, and they don't know what country he has his loyalty to. Now, technically, it's not illegal under New Zealand law to be a dual citizen and be a member of parliament because they changed the law a while ago to allow that to be possible. And that means, however, that if he is a US citizen and if he is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, it means he actually breaks US law, which doesn't allow you to place your loyalties to a country other than the United States if you have citizenship with them. All right? So he might not be breaking New Zealand law by being a US citizen, but he's breaking a US law by being a New Zealand citizen who serves a foreign government. Don't you think? That's a little bit a little bit dodgy?
And it's questionable that they didn't answer. It almost kind of convicting him with their silence.
Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is basically force a denial in this industry and people kind of like, you know, they go belly up because you, whatever somebody's not comfortable in answering, it's because they think that you're not going to like the answer. Generally speaking. And it was quite funny though, because you have a look at the parallels between Barack Obama and John Key. You wouldn't think that there are any, but there actually are. First of all, they were both elected in 2008. They both represent a party whose colour is blue. Their campaign platform was change. And they both borrowed more money than all previous leaders of their countries combined in their first term alone. And they both seem to violate the constitutionality of our nations more than any other leader throughout history. And incidentally, these guys are golf buddies.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree on the constitutionality of it. I think George Bush might have done it more than Obama, but on the rest of it, I completely agree.
Well, maybe you haven't heard about the NDAA, which you can now execute any U.S. citizen anywhere in the entire world without a warrant on the president's say-so.
Obama's
been able to do things that Bush and his cronies probably would have dreamed of, but never thought possible. It's like, man, I wish I was black, then I would have gotten away with it.
I mean, I'm only arguing because Patriot Act, NSA, TSA, Homeland Security, those were all pushed through by that administration. Certainly the NDAA is the most unconstitutional out of all of them. But I think when you added up the total number of unconstitutional acts, maybe about equal, actually.
Let's not forget, Obama didn't have 9/11 to justify everything. And also, his term isn't over yet.
Very true. Very true.
And he's going to sign America up to the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which will give the Fortune 500 companies the right to dictate all of your policy, and if the country makes any policy whatsoever that in any way impedes corporate profits in some way, shape, or form, let's say, for example, somebody's dumping toxic waste and they make a law making it illegal to dump toxic waste, and it actually messes with a company like Monsanto's products or sales or something like that because they're dumping toxic waste illegally, then they can sue you for the end of time for an unlimited amount in the world court, which they pay for. And it's not only America that's signing up to this. New Zealand is as well, and Canada, and I think like 9 other countries.
The UK, Japan, Spain.
Oh, no, you're thinking about a different one. You're thinking about the Transatlantic Partnership Agreement, which is a different one. There's the Trans-Pacific and the Transatlantic. That can be a little confusing, but just imagine it's like a porno video where you're getting taken from both angles, okay? And it's kind of like the Chinese finger cuffs, you know? You ain't getting your fingers out of there, buddy. And once it's in place, there is no way out of it, ever. And not to mention, it's all secret. So we don't even know how bad it is. And why is it secret? Because the corporation said, well, bro, people will get really pissed off. Like the citizens who elect the leaders who are signing these documents and things of that nature might not be happy if they knew what we were doing. So the governments have agreed globally to keep it secret for a full 5 years, even after it's signed. So you will literally be ruled by a secret treaty that will remain secret while it's dominating you.
Sounds familiar, actually.
Yeah, well, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Fair enough. I'm glad you brought up the TPP. That's something I've wanted to talk about for a while, but really couldn't find very many people who knew the topic well.
Yeah. See, I think just the TPPA is a large document, and in my opinion, it should be used as TP when we need to PP at a PPTA meeting. It's really that useless. Much unlike the PPTA. But the other element here is John Key's business history working in foreign exchange for a long period of time. Sorry, I've been on radio about an hour just before doing this, and I'm going to have to do two right afterwards without breaks. So that's like 5 straight hours of radio. So if I get a little bit, that's why. I think his banking history is probably the reason why my channel was actually censored. And I think it's for a good reason, really. It was starting to go viral. It was getting, I think, 1,000-plus hits a day for a political video in New Zealand. That's, like, unheard of. And even doing my channel for 7 years, and I had the most subscribed channel in New Zealand, even more than the New Zealand Herald, which is our equivalent of the New York Times. You know how the New York Times and Associated Press have their own YouTube channel, right? And they got thousands upon thousands of subscribers for them because they're a mainstream media entity. They've been around for over 100 years or whatever. Well, the New Zealand Herald had about less than 10,000 subscribers. I had over 16,000, and I'd been around for 7 years, and they've been around for 150 years. And they are the largest. Their website, newzealandherald.co.nz, is, I think, in the top 8 websites in New Zealand. And I was beating them on YouTube by my frickin' self. And they got me deleted. And that really, really is not good in terms of the signs of what's happening to democracy here. And have a look at, say, Nikki Hager, who's a famed New Zealand journalist. He wrote a book called Dirty Politics. In this book, he was releasing leaked emails from the Prime Minister's office and others in that vein. They were actually hiring a blogger named Cameron Slater to put out disinformation and to put dirty politics on the agenda, as in, like, dirty tactics. And they also disclosed that the reasons why they were doing this is because they knew it would make people not want to vote anymore. And guess who votes last? Or sorry. Guess who the last people who will be convinced to not vote are? The ones who are voting for you. The dirty politician. They know this. So if they put, like, say, 10 people off voting, they know that at the very least, 6 of those would be people that would vote for their opposition. So it's actually a very intelligent move to keep mudslinging, calling people names, like conspiracy theorist, to keep attacking others, to keep laughing at everybody, because it puts people off politics in general, and their supporters are so frickin' stupid that they will continue to support you until the day that you kill them. Right? And soon enough, our countries, all of them, this isn't just happening in New Zealand, of course, because guess what? Guess who we learned all those dirty politics games from?
Yeah. Us.
That's right. You frickin' bastards.
Well, you know? We are the experts.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to scumbaggery, you got it down, mate. You know, there's a methodology, son. I've got this great difficulty in actually differentiating the American leadership from the New Zealand leadership now, because there patently isn't one, is there?
Not much. I mean, I think the only people that could compare to New Zealand and America is David Cameron. Over in the UK, I think they're the only ones who can keep up with us.
Or at least they're trying, you know. I mean, the empire's long and old, and it's dusty and musty, and they've got so many pedophiles over there in the parliament, and so many scandals and whatnot. It's almost like there's actually some real journalists in that country. And
oh, not in the UK.
Yeah. Hence the term almost. And because it's not really the mainstream journalists that are making these big discoveries. It's actually alternative media, the people who aren't actually being paid to lie to you, basically.
What a concept.
Yeah, I know, it's strange, isn't it?
People who aren't paid to lie tell the truth.
Yeah.
Interesting concept.
Well, ultimately, I think it was when I started in activism, that was kind of one of my conclusions, is that nobody's going to pay me a crap load of money to just sit there and tell people the truth and actually help people in their lives and actually care. Nobody's going to pay me to do that. And sure enough, nobody has. I mean, if you want to be rich, ladies and gentlemen, and you're really talented and you're really good at your jobs or whatever, you know, get a job selling bullshit for a living. All right? I apologize for the swearing. But for goodness sake, that's the honest truth of it, isn't it? If you want to sell BS for a living, you'll make more money than you can ever conceive of. You will be like Scrooge McDuck incarnate. You'll be able to like swim around in your swimming pools full of gold coins and all of that kind of stuff, and nobody will ever bring you to justice, you know?
And nobody will ever realize it because they'll be too busy arguing with each other.
Yeah. It's like on 9/11. Some people have come out saying it's nukes. Some people have come out saying it's directed energy weapons. Others have come out saying controlled demolition and nanothermite and all of that kind of stuff. And they keep arguing with each other and calling each other COINTELPRO the whole time. And guess what the establishment, who probably used all of those devices simultaneously, are doing? Sitting back laughing their ass off and just going, I didn't realize that if we totally destroyed this building in like four different ways at the same time, there'd be four different groups of people that are arguing that one did it and all the others didn't and everybody else is a lying shell. Oh, jet fuel. Oh, that's a good one. I mean, you know, what do you want, some hot sauce on your pancake breakfast, do you?
Well, I'm not sure about the use of directed energy weapons, but it's possible.
Well, the only one that explains the toasty cars. Have you heard about that, bro? That was quite interesting. Like, cars that were, like, literally exact lines on them had been burned to a crisp, and the other half of the car, totally pristine. And the interior of the car, totally pristine.
That's odd.
Really now, odd.
I didn't even hear about that one. Yeah. Gonna have to redo my research.
Yeah, man. Dr. Judy Woods written a book about it. And unfortunately, the book's not available on PDF or anything. She won't release it. You know how some people have personal problems? You know, they're doing the right thing, but they've been traumatized by getting sabotaged and demonized and attacked a lot of the time, and it starts to destroy who they are as a person and their ability to cope and get along with other people?
Yeah.
I believe the same thing has happened to Dr. Judy, and it's very sad. Because her research, and well, at least the most of it that I've seen, seems to be very, very credible, which is why I'm not really going to rule it out. And people always go, oh, it's just space beams and all of that kind of stuff. You're like Buck Rogers. And I say, bro, Buck Rogers was like back in like the 20s or 30s or something. It's 2014 now. I mean, do you think that technology's like just kind of stopped developing? You know, or do you think that the military is like not way in advance of everything that they're telling us?
Well, I'm also not going to rule out direct energy weapons. I'll consider every possibility, but I really want to see a little more proof for the directed energy
weapons.
You'll
have to look through the evidence, and there's a lot of it. And that's the other difficult thing about researching into it, is that unless you actually have the testimonies from firefighters who saw their boots melting on their feet and felt no heat, you know, it's just like, what can cause that? And I think John Heisner, I forget the guy's name, but he was a scientist back in the 60s and 70s, and he got together all of these old stuff from the Navy yards and things like that, you know, just tech that they throw away, and repaired a whole lot of it. And he started to do these experiments with radio frequency technology and static fields and things like that. And I actually met a friend who was taken out into the middle of the desert with this guy and a number of other people just to witness these experiments in a kind of a safe and controlled environment. And they had like a big file, you know, the things that you like rub on other steel, and it turns it into kind of flakes, and you kind of like wear it away, you file it down sort of thing. Well, you just had one of those on the ground, and then he turned the device on, and this file started to levitate very, very gently just into the air. And then he turned the knob over a different dial, and then it started to glow white hot. And then he turned it off, and the thing dropped to the ground, and then he instantly picked it up on the metal end, and it was cold. And the next experiment they did, he levitated it up, flicked another dial, and the file actually separated into three different pieces and floated separately. He then turned the dial back on, and they reconnected and then fell to the ground, and he picked it up instantly again, and it was complete. So the kind of technology that this guy developed, some believe have been replicated by U.S. military, either through a surveillance of him or something like that. It's just there's some real weird stuff that goes on in this world, and I'm very, very concerned that the fact is we're not informed about it. I reckon the more informed humanity is about the weirdest stuff that exists, the less confused we'll be. And unfortunately, because there's a lack of information out there being come through in a constant stream sort of thing, it means that the possibility of things like this existing has generally been suppressed in the mind of the public. Now, that said, activism and consciousness awareness raising, like I was trying to do, getting back on the John Key thing, was essential to awakening people. However, the election was a bit of a farce. There have been widespread rumours of corruption, vote rigging, and this, that, and the other. No proof has actually been produced as yet. But the fact of the matter is, a man who comes in, who every second word he says is a lie, and passes two laws per day, usually under urgency, without democratic accountability, a person who has denied people the rights of referendums to be able to actually say what they think about particular issues over and over and over again, has been caught lying so many times that it's just not even funny, has gotten the country into more debt, astronomically more debt than we've ever been in before. That's going from $8 billion to $80 billion. $84 billion, sorry, in less than 8 years. And not including the $112 billion, I think it was, billion worth of derivatives debts that was on the books in 2011. They've now gone off the books, and they must be growing elsewhere as well. So we're a country of 4 million people, and we officially have $84 billion in debt. That's like 30 grand for every man, woman, and child. How many people in this country have just a spare 30 grand? They'll be like, yeah, I'll help chip in to pay off the national debt. Not on your Nelly. There's bugger all people like that in this country. And those who do have that, and those who could probably pay the shares of other people for national debt and everything like that, basically
causing it.
They're either the people causing it, or they haven't caused it and they've actually worked really hard for their money, and they don't see the reason why they should give up what they've worked hard for to pay off the debts of corrupt politicians who made the debt out of nothing.
You know? I can agree with that, actually. In a lot of ways, I think that's accurate for them.
Yeah, because I really am getting tired of this tendency to hate, quote-unquote, the rich, right? As if having a certain amount of coin suddenly means you have no conscience, no backbone, no morality. It's just a fallacy, and I think it's been perpetuated, particularly by communist manifesto lovers, because there's this big thing about class war. And what they don't realize is that if you go after the rich, you will undoubtedly miss the super, super rich, who are actually people who you can prove don't have morality, who you can prove commit large quantities of crimes. The problem is, although you can prove that they're guilty, a court will not accept them. They have control of the courts. They have control of the lawyers. They have control of the governments. They have control of the senators, the congressmen, everybody. And this is the real difficulty that we're dealing with here. How exactly do you beat an enemy who controls all of the mechanisms by which those particular enemies were traditionally brought to justice? How do you convict a criminal who owns the justice system?
Yeah.
You see, and the thing is,
it's a tough question.
Public awareness, I believe, is the way through this. Now, I may not have the greatest effect, and there's probably others out there who are better than me in many, many ways at raising public awareness about particular issues, about raising the consciousness level so that people are actually prepared to accept that the world isn't all sunshine and rainbows. You know, I've got this crazy idea that I can help the world by trying, you know? That's it.
I've got the crazy concept of thinking I can help by lending my voice.
Yeah. And I think the problem with most people is that they choose to not try. I don't know what happened in their life that made them think that not trying means that they would succeed in anything. I don't get it.
Well, yeah, I've heard a whole bunch of excuses. I've heard, I'm tired, I don't want to do this because it seems pointless. I've heard all of it. And frankly, it's just not true. It's only an impossible situation until you get up and try.
Yeah. Well, I think it's only something that people are willing to refuse because they don't have a gun to their head. I mean, really, that's it. We haven't suffered enough. We're just all comfortable and wanting to sit back and chill out and have fun and drink beer and eat chips and watch some TV.
I'm not sure if it's better in New Zealand, but it's not comfortable here.
Mm. Well, maybe you don't live in a house where you have like a television in absolutely every single room and more Diet Coke in your fridge than some description of a gas station. Because suddenly, I think what's happening here is the diet has been almost deliberately attacked in America. The ability to actually get nutritious food that will allow you to stay healthy and allow you to have enough nutrients so that your brain can carry messages across the synapse and allow you to actually process complex thoughts. I think that food supply is deliberately under attack and has been under attack for a long while, and it's almost been conquered. The entire food supply has almost been conquered by those kind of nutritionless dead foods that will make mindless and soon to be dead people.
Well, it's all Monsanto doing that.
Mm.
And maybe not all Monsanto, but 95% of the attacks on the food is Monsanto.
Yeah, that's true. I call them moron Santo because if you wanted to invest on them, you'd have to be a moron.
Or you could call them Mon Satan. Whichever one works.
Yeah, potato, potato.
Pretty much.
I mean, I've got this idea that if you want to actually make sure that things like Monsanto or the New World Order or any concept whatsoever doesn't actually come to fruition and get their global goals for destroying the world put in place, then ultimately you've really got to have a look and think about how you're resisting the New World Order, right? And the thing that people are asking me is, like, how do I resist the New World Order? How do I do that? And my answer is, well, how many ways is the New World Order or Monsatan or any of those other scumbags currently screwing you? And the answer is, in every single way. So how do you then resist something that's screwing you in every single way? Resisting in any way you want, any way you can.
Yeah, everyone has their strengths. I mean, for me it's radio, for you it's activism outside of the computer and on the radio, but everyone has their own way of doing things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the point. And I've been using this quote quite a lot. In fact, I used it on the show just before coming on this broadcast here, is something I heard on the United We Strike radio broadcast, that everybody can do something, but nobody can do everything. And I believe that it's just kind of taking responsibility just for your little corner, you know. If you're in America, fight to save America. And if you're in a small community and you feel like you can fight to save that, then do that, you know?
Yeah. Fight to save whatever you think you can save.
Yeah. I mean, whatever's right in front of you, whatever you're passionate about, whatever you're willing to lose sleep in order to accomplish, whatever you're willing to give up your comfort, your safety, whatever you're willing to give up your life for, that's what you should be doing. And you shouldn't really compromise on that point. That's the real difficulty I find, is because as somebody who's taken that path, and same as you, Dylan, it's almost like we feel alone sometimes.
Sometimes, but it's a growing community, and that's helpful. But I don't think there are very many that are willing to put down everything for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was ironically Alex Jones who kind of got me into all of this. I was just kind of getting angry all the time, because I was just listening to his broadcast all the time, and it's just anger, fear, anger, fear, anger, fear, anger, fear. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with anger or fear. A lot of people think that there is. I disagree, absolutely.
Speaking of fear, is there any Ebola hype up in New Zealand?
Well, there might be. I just don't watch the news. So, there was a really good Facebook picture I saw. There was a dude watching TV, and on TV, the newscaster's got their arms flailing in the air going, "Oh, my God, how do we reduce the terror?" And the guy goes, the guy points the remote at the TV and goes, "Click." See, that's how you reduce the terror. Turn off that damn box, man. Sweet mercy. Something full of programming that keeps you in a box, that's broadcast out of a box, is not going to be conducive to you changing the frickin' world. I'm sorry. you can spend 18 hours a day watching TV, and I can guarantee you, you won't change a damn thing about the world or your own life by doing so.
Or get any smarter. In fact, it'll probably have the reverse effect.
Yeah. Unless you're watching, like, a full-on documentary channel or something like that. But even then, like, we have Sky Television in New Zealand. I think it's, like, an Australian company or whatever. You know, you guys know it as cable. And it's just like, my wife went over to my friend's place the other day, and he's got Sky, and she'd been away from TV for so long that she only watches things that she actually finds interesting, only watches things that she actually finds cool. And there were something like 300 channels to choose from, and she couldn't find a single thing that was interesting or cool. Right? Mm. That is the illusion of choice that so many channels gives you. All it is giving you different colored M&Ms. None of them are good for you. None of them have got any nutritional value.
And none of them taste any different.
Yeah. All right. So just scarf the whole bag. It ain't gonna improve anything one iota. It's designed specifically to just sit there and waste your time. And I think this is why the election in New Zealand turned out like it did. You know, the guy's like the worst criminal in this country's leadership gets elected for a third term. And people love him, absolutely fawning over themselves. There was even a poll, something like the majority of women polled thought that John Key, the Prime Minister, was sexy. And I think that just highlights the drinking problem that we have in this country. Ladies, no more beersies for you. And people are like half asleep. And if the only information you're getting in any election is through your television, it doesn't matter who you vote for, you'll be making an uninformed decision. You'll be making an uninformed choice. It's not a good idea. And I feel quite strongly about this, that it's not just because the media are my competition that I dislike them. I dislike them because they're betraying my nation and my countrymen at the same time. And their job description is to inform the nation, to inform my countrymen, so that they can make informed, what an original concept, informed decisions. And they're not doing that. And as a result, the country slides even further and further down the road to scumbaggery. And it's not going to stop until this concept of misinforming people for a living changes. A lot of people say that voting doesn't work, and I absolutely 100% agree with them. Voting doesn't work. Why? because none of the people who vote know who they're voting for or why what, they're voting for them.
Or what they're voting for.
Exactly. You know?
And what they're voting for extends beyond people. It extends to the politicians voting on laws. Sometimes they don't even read them.
Well, in fact, most of the time they don't read them. I mean, if you really tried hard, could you read 1,400 pages of legislation a night?
God, no.
There's just no frickin' way. And I think that's the point.
Yeah, somebody in the U.S. Senate is trying to get a law passed to make sure that we have to read legislation.
But who would read the bill before passing it is my question.
Well...
Wouldn't it be funny if they passed a bill that requires them to read the bill without reading it? Again, you can't make this stuff up, bro. You just can't make this stuff up.
No, it's too elaborate.
It's like you're creating a scheme to outfox your own scheme.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it's like I don't know, injecting chocolate into fruit or something like that. Here, eat this; it'll be healthy.
Well, they do that.
I rest my case. Oh my God! See, only in America, bro. Only in America could you make fruit unhealthy.
No, Monsanto does it pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. And who owns it, Monsanto?
That's debatable, actually, I think.
Yeah. In fact, this is another point that I wanted to make, and it also addresses John Key's leadership, is that most of our leaders, they don't actually have loyalty to a flag or a country.
No.
Or anything good, really.
No, they have loyalty to a piece of paper. It's called a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's also partly blackmail, right? Because you got to get into those big, powerful, terrible positions. And in order to get into those positions, in order to get your shoulder tapped by the right people, you know, he like got personally invited to join the New York Federal Reserve to be on the Foreign Exchange Committee. And he served there for 2 years. And then he left at the height of his international banking cartel career to just come and be a New Zealand politician, and people think he did that because he was just a really, really nice guy. No, I think he was shoulder tapped, and they said, "Hey, bro," and he's like, "Yeah, we've got this country over here that you used to be part of, but you haven't been there for like 10 years or something like that, and I know you really don't care about it." And he's like, "Yeah, I don't. Yeah, well, why don't you go back there, bro, and we'll like finance your campaign and corrupt a whole lot of the people and maybe even kick out any of the people who criticize you within a new party or something like that, and then you can lead the country for us, and then we can come in, we can plunder it, we can destroy it, and then we'll tell you what, bro." He's like, "Yeah, we'll give you a Hawaiian holiday home." He's like, "Well, I've already got one." I say, "We'll give you another one." I mean, or you could not go, and we can expose a whole lot of the goodness knows what crap you've done. Who knows? You might have raped a chick. You might have had something dodgy to do with children. I don't know. You might have shoved 2 kilos of cocaine up your nose one night, you know, just for a laugh. And then we'll tell people about it, and then you're never going to work in this business again. And you go, "What business is that?" "The business of scumbaggery. There is nothing else but scumbaggery. And this is the core issue. Everything is an issue now, okay? The corrupt media are an issue. The health industry, that's an issue. The food industry, that's an issue. Every single thing, in every single way, every single day, is a big issue now. Why? Only one thing that ties them all together. Scumbags and scumbaggery. It's really that simple. If people are aware that corruption might be a problem, if people focus their attention on that, and that alone, simply eliminating corruption, then we might actually have a chance to gain traction on all of these issues which are currently beset by it. And I think that's the reason why I have personally made it my mission to expose scumbaggery, because it'll solve every single problem simultaneously.
Yeah, you have to go after the head of the Hydra.
Well, ultimately, if you go at the head of the Hydra, you cut one off and two more grow to take its place.
Oh, true.
The thing is, you have to actually burn it. You have to burn out, kind of like George W. Bush said, oh, we're going to smoke Osama bin Laden out of his cave. Why don't we just smoke these politicians out of their cave, you know? Smoke these Monsanto executives out of their cave, you know? We'll go to Denver or something like that, and we'll go through all the shops, and we'll just go, hey, bro, can you give us a donation of, like, as much weed as you can? We're going to smoke out all the politicians, you know? And we're going to be like all the politicians coming out of their houses, we'll be fanning it, you know, and they'll come out really baked, and they won't know what's going on, and then boom, you know, we'll just say, hey bro, you're on drugs, you're obviously not fit for work. He's like, but I take cocaine and heroin every day, and I've still done my job just fine. I go, bro, no, the game's over, son, the game's over. Go back home, all right, and just stay there, house arrest. I don't like the idea of revolution, because revolution means to go in a circle, and I don't like the idea of killing people either, right? Unless they have been given an absolutely fair trial by a jury of their peers, and there is incontrovertible evidence for a crime that is so heinous that it actually warrants the death penalty, like treason, for example. I think that treason is something that you should get the death penalty for if the offence is severe enough. Incidentally, did you know that John Key changed the treason laws in New Zealand to mean he can't be executed for being a traitor anymore? So a guy who doesn't know whether or not he's a US citizen in dual partnership with New Zealand, also, incidentally, because if that was found out, he'd be technically a traitor, changed the traitor laws to mean he can't be executed for doing what he's doing.
Man, he's either a coward or an idiot or both.
I don't know. The thing is, people, there's two things that people do. They overestimate and they underestimate. For example, they underestimate the intelligence of evil men. All right?
No, these guys are extremely intelligent, but they're cowards.
Yeah. And they also overestimate the abilities of, say, state surveillance apparatus and everything. All right? And so many people, they refuse to speak out against scumbaggery because they're actually quite literally afraid of actually having consequences. You know what I'm saying? There's a real difficulty of people out there for just accepting the part that they play in all of this. And I say that because when listeners come to me and say, Vinny, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? My answer is, why the hell aren't you doing it? Why the hell aren't you doing that? Okay? All you're doing, bro, is you're tossing the responsibility onto people who have already taken responsibility for doing something, as opposed to putting the responsibility on yourself. Once you have that realization that, oh my God, I've got a great idea, instead of going and asking for help, just go and develop the idea by yourself. All right? As far as I know...
I think that's a lost art.
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, most of the advanced technologies that we all live with today weren't made by the most massive corporations with the hugest budgets and things like that. They're usually only made by like one or two people in like a garage or in a garage somewhere, right? Never underestimate the ability of one person to just come up with a really good idea and make it happen. And it's the great myth that's been perpetuated for a very long time that you can't.
Yeah. Do we lose you?
No.
Okay. It seemed like your Skype cut out.
No, I just stopped speaking. Paused for a moment, you know. to ponder the quagmire of propagandistic thought the process is, you know. I was wondering as well how exactly people can be in love with John Key and not know anything about him. And I was like, well, actually, that's actually the only way that you can love a corrupt politician is if you know nothing about them. All right? If you don't know their past, you don't know their present, and you don't know what they're planning to do in future, sure, it's very easy to love them. But if you've been in a relationship with somebody and they constantly tell lies about you behind your back and you know about it, if they constantly steal your stuff and you know about it, if they are constantly trying to intimidate you, if they're constantly like slapping you whenever you don't do something they like, your relationship becomes very strained and you don't want to be in it anymore because you realize that you're a victim. And if the New Zealand public, and of course this applies to everybody, realize this nature, that it's basically like Stockholm Syndrome. You will begin to identify with your oppressor, with your kidnapper, even more than you will the other people who are actually being oppressed and kidnapped alongside you. And you will actually grow to love your servitude, love your master, and indeed serve them and hate other people who question them.
It's indentured servitude, but more voluntary is what it is.
There was a great movie just came out. What was it? Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier.
I love that movie.
It was so good. And I think the reason for me why it was so good as a truther is because I kind of identify with Captain America, how even though he was up against so many people and being afflicted by a conspiracy but behind this large, massive agency, he wasn't willing to give up. He was willing to fight, and he was willing to help regardless. And it was more the fact that when they discovered who was actually behind S.H.I.E.L.D., Hydra, spoiler alert for those, it was actually a massive conspiracy that had been growing inside this security agency by Nazis who had had the forethought of infecting the system and creating an algorithm behind everybody that would ever be a threat to them currently or in the future, and coming up with a plan to eliminate them all simultaneously. Right? Yeah. That's actually precisely what's going on. The pivotal point in that scene was when the artificially intelligent computer that had the consciousness of a top Nazi scientist transplanted into it, he said that we tried to take the people's freedom by force, but when you try to take it by force, they resist.
Well, I have a question about that movie, just in general. Do you think it was a warning or predictive programming?
It could be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column both. If you're aware of what the original agenda was before going into the movie, it's a call to arms. If you're unaware whatsoever and you think it's all totally fiction, it could be predictive programming.
Yeah, that was the first movie I saw after I completely became aware, and I could see all the predictive programming inside it, but it was still a fantastic movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I think the
go ahead, Dylan.
In that scene in particular that you were talking about, they say it so explicitly, if you remember. The Armanzola DAI basically says, we'll kill everyone who gets in our way with the S.H.I.E.L.D. plane, and then establish a new
world order.
That's straight from the film.
Yeah. And you can't make this up. And I have actually been documenting a lot of film dialogue and screenshots and things like that. Now, this concept is called Order Out of Chaos, or the Latin is Ordo Ab Chao, which is, incidentally, there's all these sayings, these singular phrases, which encapsulate particular degrees of Freemasonry. And the highest degree that you can reach in Freemasonry is the 33rd, and their line for the 33rd is Ordo Ab Chao. Now,
Vinny, we have about 5 minutes till we go to break.
Okay.
Just so you know.
No worries, no worries. And what is happening in films, and you see this if you think about the concept, order out of chaos, order out of chaos. Okay? Think about, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. How many times do they say Hydra's about order? It's about order, all right? And they create the chaos, and that's where they can get their order out of it, right? Even in children's cartoons, I saw this one which was, oh, what was it? I think it was like the Justice League of America or something like that. And the very, very first scene was like, who's the bad villain that Superman goes up against?
Lex Luthor?
Yeah, that's right. Lex Luthor was like the leader of the Legion of Doom at the time. Yeah. And the very opening scene of this movie is them trying to freeze and create these giant ice mountains in the polar ice caps in order to control the world or something like that. So he comes up and he says, this is going to create our new world order. And it's actually all the way through the films. And it's just like you were saying, is it subliminal predictive programming or is it a call to arms? And again, it's... those things are put into movies specifically for those in the know. And unfortunately for those in the know, there are other people who they don't want to know, who do know, who start talking about it and exposing it and lead other people to know what's going on. And that's basically what consciousness raising is really all about, is just telling people what's right in front of their face so they can see it next time before it comes and gets them.
Have you ever seen the movie Divergent? That was pretty predictive program. That was a whole lot of predictive programming in that one.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a number of screenshots of all the all-seeing eyes and Masonic floor and pyramids and everything out of it. Yeah.
The microchips in their necks in the finale of that film, the third act. How they were implanting the microchips in the people to control their mind and get them to fight for them.
And nowadays, you know, we do actually have the technology to make all of these sci-fi films a reality, and people make the mistake of thinking that because these things are actually, you know, fictionalized, that they're not based on reality, right?
Science fiction is a speculative fiction.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Mark Twain said something like, fiction has to make sense, reality doesn't.
Well, not necessarily. I'll have to disagree with them because fiction doesn't have to make sense. It has to be based on reality. And as he said, reality does not make sense. So therefore, the fiction does not have to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, only if it's based on reality, which doesn't make sense. But yeah. Same
difference. You get my point, though.
Yeah, but it's the same difference, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Because ultimately, I think what I really want to do now with my time, I mean, now that I'm no longer a YouTube sensation because they took it from me for exposing the truth, I have to think about other ways that I can contribute instead. And I've already uploaded most of my old videos to my new YouTube channel, Eastwood Vincent, if people want to go search for that YouTube channel name. You can subscribe to my channel. I want to go back up to the 16,000 subscriber mark as quickly as humanly frickin' possible. So, but I'll have to tread water until then, until such a time as I can get back to square one on that.
But if there were 16,000 people subscribed to your YouTube channel and one day it wasn't there, they got to know something's up, and they're probably looking for another YouTube channel of yours.
Yeah, that's true, but that's over a 7-year period, and not everybody who subscribes checks every day. And when they check, and you're no longer on there, there's no big message saying, "Oh my God, Vinny's been deleted" or anything. It just doesn't appear on their feed. And obviously, people are subscribed to a number of different channels, so they'll have heaps of people on their feed. And it's just you're not there anymore. So unless they're a specific fan of you and get particularly curious when you're not on their feed anymore, and then go searching for it. It's actually unlikely, and which is why out of 16,000 people, that had been subscribed to my YouTube channel, I managed to get about 500 of them back since my YouTube channel has been deleted. So that was about over a month ago.
We are approaching the break. You've been listening to The Truth Speaks. We'll be back after the break.